This episode is brought to you by Bleacher Report. How do you follow sports? From college football to the NBA, Bleacher Report brings you the latest news, live scores, and epic highlights from your favorite leagues, teams, and athletes, all in one app. Dive into exclusive shows hosted by your favorite athletes and original Bleacher Report series with breaking news, rumors, and predictions all season long. Download Bleacher Report to personalize your coverage.
We're bringing everything we got to this game.
Intercepted, Kirby Joseph. Purdy airmailed it.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
We're going out to play and win this game.
Intercepted by the Lions. Picked up by Kirby Joseph. That is a huge play by that Lions defense.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Touchdown, Detroit Lions. Jahmyr Gibbs breaks it for 30.
Earlier on the show, Bucks running back, Bucky Irving. Fox Sports college football analyst Bruce Feldman. Coming up, latest news and more. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
That's right. Hour number three of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. If you missed the first 2 hours, where you been? We've been hanging out, having a good time with Bucky Irving of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and Bruce Feldman of Fox Sports and The Athletic talking about Bucky Irving's rise to a 1,000-yard rookie rusher for the almost right on the precipice NFC South champion Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And hour number two, we had Bruce Feldman previewing what's going on with the college football playoffs tonight between Boise State and Penn State, and then the triple header of quarterfinal games tomorrow as the bowl games all throughout your football world, getting set for the ball drop tonight, 2025, right around the corner. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial right here. I am sitting in a vacation spot in Utah where I'm going to be ringing in the new year with Suze and the kids. And I'll be doing the show Thursday from here, back at studio on Friday, and in studio, Chris Brockman, TJ Jefferson in their spots, and DJ Mikey D is in D's Nuts. In his spot, Mike Del Tufo, hanging out over there. And again, 844-204-RICH, number to dial to have a conversation with all of us. The second half about to begin in the ReliaQuest Bowl, everybody, between Michigan and Alabama. 16-10. Yes. 16-10 is the score. Yeah. 16-10. And
Coach.
Michigan's up. Yeah. Thank you very good.
Yeah, Coach.
Nice little drop right there. Okay, I'd like to – we didn't have time to talk about this yesterday because we were just reacting to all of Week 17 contests. But the chase is on for the first overall selection in the National Football League draft. And the team sitting in the pole position for this particular spot and this particular pick are Chris Brockman's New England Patriots.
Yes.
Sitting there. It's not anything to celebrate.
It is. When your team is bad, you want to have the best possible draft pick, and there's no pick better than number one.
Well, and then the thing is that the Titans are sitting at two. The Browns are sitting at three. The quarterback... needy Giants are sitting at four. The Jaguars are sitting at five. Panthers at six. Jets at seven. Raiders at eight. Bears at nine. And the Saints at 10. And the Raiders' last couple of weeks, where they have put together some dubs, have absolutely taken any Raider fan's dream of seeing Shedeur Sanders in the silver and black and basically exploded it over the strip, and the ashes landing on the sphere and everything else, because I don't think Shedeur is lasting to eighth overall. And interesting way that this is playing out right now is the Titans need a quarterback. Potentially, they're going to have to really evaluate Will Levis and say, we'll hold on to Will Levis. It's kind of like, you know, I understand Will Levis is definitely not has had as much success in Tennessee as Justin Fields was having with Chicago. But it's kind of similar to that question that they were having a couple of years ago when they were sitting there first overall and they traded out of the spot and let Carolina trade in for Bryce Young, that does Tennessee stick with Will Levis, take whichever quarterback might still be on the board and go with that? Or do they trade away Will Levis and go ahead and take this kid and they wouldn't get nearly as much for Will Levis as obviously anyone would think, since the going rate for trading away your first round drafted quarterback, which Will Levis wasn't even, you saw was a fifth round selection in a future draft for Justin Fields.
Right.
So trading that pick out would be a way for Tennessee to really make some hay in improving their roster. The question is what do the Patriots do first overall? And does somebody sit there and jump the line because they love their guy so much, thinking Tennessee might take him instead? You got the Giants sitting there at four. Do the Browns take a quarterback at three because they're going to figure we're not going to be up here for this this high anymore because we're going to be better? Like, you always hear that approach. We're going to take the quarterback now because we don't ever intend to be this high drafting anymore. That was the philosophy in the Patriots taking Drake May last year. We're going to take a quarterback here, not trading out with the Giants. We're going to take our quarterback here because we're going to have to, we don't plan on drafting this high anymore, and they might be drafting any higher. So I'm kind of set everything up the way it's currently sitting. We all know that this draft order may change. And for your particular situation, Chris, Gerard Mayo was asked. I don't think the word tank was mentioned to him, but he was asked about what the approach is when they're sitting in the best possible position for a team that has nothing left to play for, figuratively, literally.
As of right now, you guys are in line for the number one overall pick next year. How does that, if at all, affect your game plan going into this week?
100% focus on beating the Buffalo Bills. I mean, that's what we have to do.
So,
I'm inspired.
I know, dude. I know what you're saying right now, but you know,
I'm inspired.
Come on, dude. Let's put a pin in that. No. Let's put a pin in that for a second. And I do want to revisit the Gerard Mayo situation.
The Patriots can't play Drake May this week, right? He has to sit.
Why?
I'll
give you the floor on that.
He has shown the last few weeks he can't take care of himself. Okay. He took an unnecessary hit on the opening drive last week against the Chargers. Nearly got himself knocked out. Probably should have been out for the remainder of the game. He's already suffered a concussion earlier this year. He's a little bit reckless. I don't know if that's play calling or that's just him being a 22-year-old Superman out there trying to make plays, which obviously I like. I think he's going to be a great player. But the mission here is simple. Get the number one pick. And then we're open for business for all these teams that need quarterbacks to come trade up. So you do that by playing Jacoby Brissett for a half, playing Joe Milton for a half, and rock and roll. Drake May is the future. Well, you can't go into the offseason with Drake May dealing with a concussion issue, dealing with maybe an arm issue or a leg issue. Sit him. Save him from himself. Get the number one pick, and then let's go into the evaluation period in the draft.
I think they should sit Drake May. They should start Jacoby Brissett. They should lose this game. Period. Absolute end of story. Want to be the first. You want to be the first overall picker. If you have gone this far with this much pain and this much of an issue and this much of a trial with full of tribulations, you finished the job. The only thing, though, okay, I would say is. Because that assures you of taking whoever you damn well want. It doesn't assure you of other teams coming up to knock on your door for the quarterback. Let's just say, Chris, that the Giants and the Browns, okay? Let's just say that the Giants and the Browns are sit. Well, let me put it this way. Let's say the Browns sit two and the Giants sit three. Let's say Tennessee wins their final game of the year. Why not?
Okay.
Let's just throw that out there.
Sure.
Okay? And let's just say they do that and that they're out of the position of being right behind the Patriots. I'm just suggesting that if there is somebody that's out there that can wait for their quarterback and not spend it on trading any draft capital to move up, if they're like, we'll take Cam Ward and Shador and we're going to get that guy, you're not guaranteed of having somebody trying to sell a ransom to come go get your guy. You understand what I'm saying?
I do.
On that, Chris?
Sure.
Like, we need to see what the draft order finishes up.
Yeah, of course. But do you think now Cleveland's going to take a quarterback or no?
No, I don't.
Really?
Yeah, really. I don't. They just redid Deshaun's contract.
Man's coming off an Achilles. We saw how the two guys playing with Achilles injuries performed this year.
I'm with you. I'm completely with you on that front. But I don't think the Browns are going to take a quarterback. I really don't. I think they would love Travis Hunter. I think they'd love him. They take him and they want to see. I don't think they're going to quit Deshaun Watson yet. I really don't.
Man. Well, I feel bad for Browns fans.
You do?
I feel bad for Browns fans. He's proven he can't play. It's over. It's the worst contract maybe in sports.
Yeah.
The Titans obviously need a quarterback. The Giants, we know, need a quarterback. And the Raiders need a quarterback. Why wouldn't the Raiders move up? Tom Brady calls up Bob Kraft. Hey, let's make a deal.
No, but the Raiders are too far down. Raiders are too far down.
Why? Too far down. Why? We saw Carolina move up. Where were they when they traded with the Bears? Weren't they ninth?
Yeah, they traded so much to go do it. You would trade all.
And you could argue that the Panthers are better fit to succeed than the Bears are right now. So it doesn't really matter.
Because of how Bryce Young is playing right now, is what you're saying?
And they seem to play hard.
All right, now let's pull the pin on this conversation. Okay.
Yes.
Do you want Gerard Mayo gone as the head coach of the New England Patriots?
He's done nothing to inspire any hope for the future that it's going to get better.
Why do you say that?
Have you watched the games?
I have watched the games.
It's been really bad.
You and I both knew how bad it was going to be for the Patriots.
You knew that the wins were not going to be there, but there is a difference between winning the games and just getting blown out every week, and that's a reflection of coaching as well. But it's also, you want to see improvement. You don't want to see the dumb, stupid sloppiness. You want to see guys play hard. You want to see, don't screw up the clock management at the end of halves and games.
But you knew there would be.
You didn't want to see defensive regression. Look, the team was bad last year record-wise with Bill, but the defense was still really good. Mayo was on that staff as a defensive coach, and then what happens this year? They can't stop anybody. So what happened? A lot of the players were brought back. Yeah, Christian Gonzalez has proven to be a top-flight defensive back in this league, and he's playing well, and that's basically it. Where's the pass rush? Where's the linebacking play, of which Mayo was a coach on that staff? It's not inspiring. Mike Vrabel is right there. There's a report that he's going to bring Josh McDaniels. We know how great of an offensive coach and a mind he is. He got Mac Jones into the Pro Bowl and the NFL top 100, and he won Super Bowls with Tom Brady.
I can't see
why anyone would want Mayo back, other than Bob Kraft trying to save face.
Because there is a plan
they've had. Hold on a second. Let me finish. Sorry.
There has been a plan in place for years. And this is a franchise that is deliberate or has never had the need to show off deliberateness because of how remarkably and wildly successful they were with their coach and their quarterback for as long as they were. Quarterback leaves, coach now leaves. It is now time to start something new. And the Kraft family for years had been targeting this particular head coach, who they had to have known would have some on-the-job training issues, would had to have known that this season coming in was going to be positively dreadful. And so it will come down to Robert Kraft and Jonathan Kraft and the Kraft family sitting down once this season ends and saying, do we, just for sake of belief in our plan and belief in continuity and knowing that the worst franchises, just like we were before we took over this franchise, would churn through people. They're not a churn through team. And that is the question that they're going to have answered. Now then, in the same way throughout you always see whenever a coach has been with the team for a while, that when they go ahead and change coaches or that coach leaves, they normally take someone who's the opposite because they've been in a relationship for a long time and they want to go in a different way because they want to try something else. And Bill Belichick was their guy for as long as they had him. And I'm just wondering if part of the reason why they like Mayo is because he is so different from Bill in terms of his personality that they thought they needed to go in that direction. And maybe they need to get their red ass back. And that's why they would go to Vrabel. They got to get their guy. They spent 20 years with a red ass. You know what I mean? Like that they, or 22 years, and they were done with that. And now they got someone else who is a completely different, and they have to sit there and wonder, do we let this guy continue learning on the job to show off the traits that we know are in there? Because we put it in our plans forever that when Bill was gone, this was the guy. That we didn't even let him walk when it was time for Bill to have to name an offensive coordinator. We had to name Mayo something in order to make sure he didn't leave. We're not going to pitch all of that because the 1 year that he took over that we knew was going to be taxing and troubling turned out to be that. That's what they have to sit here and wonder. And instead of saying, you know, the question is are there enough guys and ladies like you in New England to have created an issue for the Crafts to sit here and say, we're going to lose people from our fan base if we don't go and get Vrabel and say, we're going back to the Belichick times with somebody who won rings for Belichick and has that sort of mentality and attitude that fans want back because Mayo appears to be dead inside, right? Because he's got a different personality. When he sits there and you were like, you were so uninspired when we played the soundbite moments ago of Mayo saying, we're just going to get ready for Buffalo. We're, you know, our plan is to beat Buffalo. When he was asked about the first overall selection, he's not going to sit there and say, of course we're going to tank. Of course we want to get better as a franchise. Of course we're not going to win this game because it means we can get better as a franchise. It's just another version of Belichick going, well, you know, we're just move on to Cincinnati. But you don't have any confidence in this guy because the only thing you know about this guy is a season that's so bad you're the first overall on-the-clock team going into the final week. You see what I'm saying?
I assumed that we would have a top-five pick this year, but it didn't look this bad. I didn't think it would look this bad.
You knew it had to look bad for it to have a top-five pick. Trust me, you could have come to me and be like, how bad does it look for your team to have a top-five pick? I could have gone through many. I could have given you the manual on how that would look and how it would go. Look,
all I heard all offseason was how the Jets have a championship roster and they have one more win than us.
I think hold on a second. That goes to show you why the Crafts probably want to stick with Mayo, because the Jets churned through people. They fired their coach after week five. You don't want to be that team. You're not that team.
I think we're realizing that the Crafts had no involvement in football, and now they're trying to. Bill did everything. Bill ran the team. He ran the scouting. He ran the offseason. He picked the players. He decided how much they were getting paid, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And now they're trying to find guys to fill in all the little pieces of what Bill did completely. And they're realizing that that's very, very difficult. And look, I was one of the people saying that it was time for something different with Bill. It was just kind of reached its end. But I don't know. Maybe Bill, they should have just kept him.
No, God, that thing was over, as you know.
Oh, of course, I know. But what I'm saying is that it's so difficult to replace one person who does everything.
I know, that's what I'm saying.
And now they're finding it. They probably picked the wrong people to do this. They completely whiffed on the draft. May fell right into their lap. They were taking him no matter what. You know, the monkeys who write Shakespeare would have taken Drake May. But everything else has been a complete miss. Seeing Ladd McConkey come into your building and score two touchdowns and have more stats in one game than the other two guys, Jalen Polk and Javon Baker, have the whole year is embarrassing. Like, you can't whiff on this stuff.
Well, what if Mayo's actually gotten a good plan for
Then it would be nice to hear it. He needs to win back the fan base. Because too many times he'll say something stupid after the game, and then on Monday he'll go on EEI and have to walk it back, and then Tuesday we're trying to break that down. Like, oh, does he... there's too many times that it's happened this year, and the fan base is over it.
And Vrabel's sitting out there.
And
that's
he's,
the thing,
and
too.
It's the only time Mike is going to be available. This is it. One-shot deal. He's going to pick his job, and then he's not going to be a head coach. You're not going to have an opportunity to hire this guy for another decade. It's frustrating.
First overall.
And I know nobody's sad for us, and I get that.
Good. No, TJ, go ahead.
Rich, I'll say this. You know, when it comes to the way you're describing the Kraft's thought process with the Mayo.
Yes, sir. Oh, yeah.
Every now and then you say something that makes me go, that's why this guy's name is on the coffee cup. I thought that was a great, really reasoning as to why they had Mayo, the reason they probably won't let him go, and the reason they want him to succeed. That made complete sense to me. So,
but Mayo, you know, Mayo was picked as head coach like 4 or 5 years ago. Like,
no, and
plans change. Situations, circumstances change.
Correct. The reason why, first of all, thank you, TJ. But secondly, also, you know, I have been around the NFL block for 22 seasons. And I know the way that franchises work, and I know the way that successful franchises work, and I know the way that plans are made, and that very few times are plans reversed based on results that you knew were coming, and a setup that you knew would be challenging, and a setup that you knew would have growing pains to it, and a fan base that has not had a first overall pick in their lap since Parcells had one and was brought in because things had fallen so completely flat and they chose Bledsoe and all that. But it's been a long time. And so the Krafts, having done it a certain way with Bill and it was very successful, I think towards the end began to chafe about it. And they wanted to try it a different way. And they know that the unitary executive way, you know, is not something that they wanted to have set up again, you know? And I don't know if that's the way it would be with Vrabel. I think you can sort of have your cake and eat it potentially with him, where you're telling the fan base, let's go back to the old days. You got a head coach that in the upper, you know, east of the country, you usually want to have somebody that is a little bit more of a red ass. Which Joe Torre wasn't. And when he was winning, you looked at him and you're like, I love the way that he's such an even keel. He's the same way when we win is the same way we lose. But when you start losing, you're like, is there anybody in there? Like, is there anybody? Like, show me you care as much as I do. And that's the way it goes in the Northeast in many different ways. I just don't know if the Krafts are going to be like, we knew it was going to be bad. We knew it was going to be tough. We knew it was going to be challenging. We know we don't want to go back to the unitary way of Bill. And we knew that we loved this guy for years. We're going to stick with him. But it's a fascinating question to see play out with a franchise like this. And I personally think, just to put a button on it, they should start Jacoby Brissett. They should tell the kid, you know, you're in the playbook now from now until next September. Mm-hmm. Go be healthy into this offseason. And we're going to get the first overall pick, because that is what's best for the long run. Because not only can we take whoever the hell we want, if it's Travis Hunter or not, or we can see which team wants which quarterback, and they're desperate about it. Because last year, the Raiders couldn't get from where they wanted all the way up for Jaden Daniels. This year, if they're 7 or 8, they could get up to get Shador. They're closer. That's for sure. Spirited chat, gents. Let's take a break. When we come back here, 844-204, Rich number to dial. LeBron James says he could play till he's 47 at the high level. Not that he's going to, but I can't wait to have this conversation when we come back.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Welcome to AutoZone. What are you working on today?
I think my battery's dead.
With free battery testing and charging, we can help you get back on the road.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
So what if I need a new one?
We have the right Duralast battery for you, only at AutoZone.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
And what about my old battery?
We can recycle it right here at America's number one battery destination.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Restrictions apply.
You met Lala Kent on Vanderpump Rules. Now Lala and her friends share everything on Give Them Lala.
Bagel, everybody says I say that weird. It is ruined by a proposal story.
How Jason proposed, and she was like, he brought in a bunch of bagels. I was like, I have to stop this. I will punch you in the throat if you ever tell this story again and call it a bagel.
Let me tell you, now when I tell the story, I go, he went and got breakfast.
There you go.
Bagels.
Yeah.
Watch what Lala is talking about on YouTube or search for Give Them Lala wherever you listen.
Back here on the program, the ReliaQuest Bowl. Where are we? Where are we? Coop, you want to give an update right here? Hold on. Hit the drop. Hit the drop.
Here it
hit
comes. I see.
Breaking news.
You're on, Coop. Get Coop Horizon with the update.
So it's still 16-10 after halftime, but the big thing is Davis Warren is being evaluated for a knee injury. So currently, Alex Orji's the quarterback for Michigan.
Oh, boy.
And right now, Alabama has the ball. Michigan has just punted, and I believe they punted in their last four offensive drives.
So let me ask you this question, Cooper. So what I'm to understand is the Michigan Wolverines' fourth-year walk-on quarterback is out due to a knee injury, and he's been replaced by a quarterback that's already announced his intention to enter the transfer portal but stuck around for this bowl game, and he has now actually got a six-point lead against Alabama trying to bring it home. Is that really what's happening right now?
Yes, but there's also two different quarterbacks. There's Jaden Davis, who's a freshman. I think there's Justin.
They're going to play him?
Maybe, because Orji's in the game right now, but maybe he could be better.
Ladies and gentlemen, Cooper.
Out of Coop.
Thank you very much. Coop, going back. This is the craziest season ever. Fourth-year walk-on hurt. Guy who's already saying, I'm in the transfer portal, but you know what? I'll stick around to play one more game.
Wait, Orji's in the portal?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah, because, I mean,
I don't know.
Underwood's there. By the way, the kid that they five-star recruit with his $12 million NIL is there.
So he's starting next year, guaranteed?
Hell yeah.
Oh, okay. I don't know.
Hell yeah. Oh, big sack for Michigan is the latest update from across the living room right here. Okay, there you go.
There's a flag down.
And one of my dogs is staring out the window at birds. It could bark at any minute. Very, very full, healthy house, everybody. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, I'm sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Guys, I can't believe this as an individual who once upon a time hosted SportsCenter and did the show coming off of a high school game for one LeBron James, that this man is now a 40-year-old basketball player. In year 22, I might have done a couple of those SportsCenters with Stuart Scott, and the guy who he's tied in year 22 is Vince Carter for most seasons in the National Basketball Association. It's crazy how things work that Vince Carter has now had his record tied for 22nd season by LeBron James, who is now looking down on everybody, including Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, for most points scored in the history of the NBA. It is kind of crazy. 40-year-old LeBron. And then he was asked yesterday. I assume you heard this, right, guys?
Yeah, I have heard this, yeah.
Okay, let's play this soundbite. He was asked yesterday how much longer he's going to do it. In an interesting way, I like the opening question you're asking about his relationship with retirement.
Hit it. Like, what is sort of your current relationship with potential retirement at some point? Like,
It's very good. It's very good.
What will it be that tells you it's enough?
It won't be because I can't play the game at a high level. It won't be because of that. Because, to be honest, if I really wanted to, I could probably play this game at a high level. About another 5 to 7 years if I wanted to. But I'm not going to do that.
He said it with a little smile on his face, knowing that when he was saying that he could play at least 45 to 47, that it would spark something in conversations. And he said, screw it, I'll say it anyway. But I can't believe that the guy who came in to the league, at his young age is now sitting here saying he could play till he's 45 or 47. And, Gretzky is now going to be the Gordie Howe Is he going to be the Gordie Howe of the NBA? Like, who played? Has anybody ever played till they're 45?
In the NBA?
No.
In the NBA? I just don't even, like, who's the oldest player to ever play in an NBA game? And is that, it didn't strike me that that would be his goal.
Apparently it's this guy, Nat Hickey, who played two games for the Providence Steamrollers in 1948. He was almost 46. But that was
TJ. What do you think? What'd you think when you heard that? He said he could play till he's 47.
You know, the thing is, you know, all the analytics nerds will tell you, you know, that his defensive rating is terrible and it's down and this, that, and the third. But LeBron James, I fully believe, can get buckets until his late 40s. Like, there's no reason LeBron James couldn't average 17 points a game. Like, yeah, I think he could do it. There's no reason, I can't find any reason why he couldn't go out there and do it. He's already an anomaly, right? He's already doing things that have never been done before. So I'm not going to sit here and say he couldn't do it. I'd love to see 46-year-old LeBron out there, you know, playing with Bryce. Because Brotman, as I've said from years ago, I think Bryce, everyone thought it was Bronny. I think Bryce might be the one. So maybe he hangs around long enough to see son number two in the association with him.
Sure. I mean, I heard this and I'm just like, yeah, that's something that LeBron would say.
He, 23 and a half points a game he's averaging right
says,
now.
He says a lot of silly things that, you know, and everyone likes to chew them up and spit them out because it's LeBron. But
he's averaging 9 assists a game, guys.
Is that silly, though, to think that he couldn't play for 5 more years?
No, but it's silly to say that he could play at a high level.
A high level, yeah.
Like, is he playing at a high level right now?
Hell yeah, he is.
Well, he's not one of the 20 best players in the league, so if you're talking about what a high level is.
Dude, he's averaging 23 and a half.
Look, I don't care what stats say.
9 assists and 8 rebounds a game.
I don't care what stats say, just like the Olympics.
Come on.
You can say statistically Patrick Mahomes isn't the best quarterback. You can say statistically LeBron's not the top 20. But again, if the Martians come to Earth and say, give us your 12 best, LeBron James is on the team. And there's no doubt about that. I'm sorry.
Okay, we'll just agree to disagree. And you know.
Sure, you didn't think he was that good going to the Olympics last year. And he was the best player throughout the Olympics.
He had a good Olympics. No, I didn't think they should have been on the team. The Olympics should be for the younger guys and the development of USA basketball. That's a different conversation.
Relationship with retirement.
I heard this quote and I just kind of shrugged. I'm just like, okay, just used to him kind of saying outrageous things.
Well, because we're not going to see him prove it. I don't think he's going to.
No,
I don't think he wants to play that much longer. You think this is going to be his last year? I don't know. I think he gets one more. I don't know. This is too good. It's too great. He's too good. I know you're saying he's not top 20. I mean, what are you talking about? Like, when you're going to throw, I'm not throwing him with Shea. I'm not throwing him in, you know, with Anthony Edwards, the Ant-Man, or Jokic.
He's not going to make all NBA this year.
But I don't know why he wouldn't. He's actually playing. He's only missed two games. I mean, honestly, Luka's missing a month. Embiid's missing already missed a month. Kawhi hasn't played a game yet. I mean, he's 40 and he doesn't miss games. And he's consistent every time.
Well, this year, the last couple of years, he has been playing.
No, I know that, but you're talking about right now.
That is yet to happen this season, which is nice.
Right now, he's averaging almost, he's 23 and a half a game. He's close to averaging a triple-double. And he answers the bell, you know? And so I would hope that he has another year left in him. And certainly the league, when you're talking about ratings, you better hope he's got another year left in him. I mean, certainly, because you want lightning rods, too. He's clearly won. And I think he wants to win one more title so he can have 5 going out the door.
Well, that's not happening. Who's he going to win a title with?
The current Los Angeles Lakers.
No chance.
I don't know if you could say no chance.
I mean,
they're going to make the playoffs.
They have no chance. They're in the play-in right now. They have no chance. They're not going to win a title.
And that's fine, but it doesn't take away the fact that
I know
he's incredible, man. And
that's fine. No one's saying he's not incredible and has an incredible career. But it's just like to come out and say, "Yeah, I could play till I'm 47." Like, stop it. At a high level, what does that mean?
The high level.
Well, I guess it would be just like now.
It's a ridiculous thing to say.
Why is it ridiculous if someone asks you a question? What's he supposed to say? Like, no, I think I suck and I'm going to retire. Like, yeah, he's going to.
No. That soundbite again.
Everything he says and does is so calculated.
Yep.
Yes, this is. I wouldn't this, shock me if that question was planted. That, no, so that he could say.
Oh, that's crazy. No. See, no, I know you
this
feel
thing
that way
you
about
have
him.
With
but,
him is just no, incredible, no, no. Man.
I'll say this.
I'm with you, Brian.
He is very. Now you know you said something wrong.
You know,
Mr.
Show.
Yeah, Mike, you're not the teammate I want on this.
Yeah, but
that's exactly. Yeah, you know, Mr. Tinfoil hat feeding a squirrel out of his hand right now. This guy.
I'm doing that later today.
That guy talking to his friend, the squirrel. Play that soundbite one more time, because you could see LeBron when he said 5 to 7 more years. He knew what he was doing. That he definitely knew what he was doing when he hit it.
What is sort of your current relationship with potential retirement?
I love that question.
It's very good. It's very good.
What will it be that tells you it's enough?
It won't be because I can't play this game at a high level. Because to be honest, if I really wanted to, I'd probably play this game at a high level for about another year. Weird that I might say, how about another 5 or 7 years if I wanted to? But I'm not going to do that.
I love it.
And then when you say everything he says is calculated, do you know any successful person in any asset of this world everything someone says is calculated, bro. Like,
do you watch me on this show when I do a segment and when I don't really believe something, I kind of give you a look? That's exactly what he just did. What's the difference?
I don't understand. What's he calculating it for? Is there some sort of deal?
He wants to be talked about all week on the shows. And that this is something that he would say to get him talked about for the entire week.
So that was
and
his
now
diet.
We've spent 15 minutes
he's
doing it.
They're going, well, you know, it's Christmas week. No one's talking about me. Let me say something that'll get me talked about.
Well, I mean, happy birthday to LeBron.
To think that these guys don't do that is insane and naive.
40 years old. He's 40 years old. I can't believe the guy I followed on SportsCenter with Stewart from his high school games is 40. I can't, honestly, it just blows my mind.
It's crazy, man. I can still remember getting my Sports Illustrated with 16-year-old LeBron on the cover, which I still have, and reading this thing. I can still picture myself sitting at my kitchen table, and now he's 40 years old.
Remember when they played, it was, he was St. Vincent St. Mary's,
his
right?
Junior
and
season,
they played against Oak Hill. They played against Carmelo.
Yeah. That was on ESPN. Yeah.
Dude. And again, he is 23.5 points per game, 9 assists, and 7.9 boards at age 40.
24, 8, and 9.
It is remarkable. And the Lakers would not be 18-3 without him. And Anthony Davis, the two of those guys, they just got to click like it's the cup. That's it. Like the NBA cup. Just click like it's the NBA cup. Let's go. I would love it. Let's roll.
13 right, we'll take 13, a break. By the way, not
Jerry Jones has spoken about Mike McCarthy's future. I don't know what he said.
Can we skip this?
I can't wait.
Is no,
speaking
of people who need to stop talking.
Yeah, now he should stop talking.
We will not skip it. How dare you? That's coming up next. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show on the Roku Sports Channel. The radio audience will return in a moment. Let's take a phone call here. Why not? Let's go to Daniel in Virginia. You're on the Rich Eisen Show. What's up, Daniel?
Daniel.
Hey, Rich, how's it going?
What's up, brother?
I had an idea for your boy from Michigan, J.J. McCarthy.
Okay.
I think this offseason the Vikings are going to get Sam Darnold on a team-friendly deal. And okay. I think J.J. McCarthy is a better quarterback than anybody else that's coming out in the draft, except maybe Shador Sanders at this point. So I'm pretty sure the Vikings can pick up a pretty good haul if they were to offer J.J. McCarthy and their first round. They could get someone potentially like Oakland Raiders, maybe the New York Jets, get them to hand over a first round and a third round draft pick. What do you think?
I think the Vikings will stand pat. There's no reason to make a move. Re-sign Sam Darnold in the manner in which you're comfortable and hopefully enriches him and let it ride again. and JJ McCarthy turns 22 and he starts learning there. I don't think he's going to force the situation to want to go somewhere else, because why would you leave Kevin O'Connell and Justin Jefferson? I mean, Kirk Cousins did it, and look how well that worked out for him. I would want to, and thanks for the call, Daniel. I appreciate it. I would stay put. If I'm JJ, I'm not going to force the situation. And if I'm the Vikings, you've got, as you pointed out, a terrific young prospect. You know, coach him up. Steve McNair sat 2 years. Jordan Love sat three, pretty much.
That's a really good question, though, for evaluators once we hit that part of the year. Where would McCarthy rank if he was in this draft class?
Well, Daniel Jeremiah is going to join us next week. We will do exactly that, put a pin in that conversation. Nothing feels as good as driving a new Hyundai, folks, and now you can get a great deal on your favorite model at the Hyundai Getaway Sales Event. Make your next getaway your best one yet. Visit HyundaiUSA.com today. Drive away now in one of our most popular models with 0% APR and zero payments for 90 days, only during the Hyundai Getaway Sales Event. Offer ends January 2nd. Call 562-314-4603 for details. All right, here we go. It's a Tuesday. You know what that means, everybody? Jerry Jones, yes. Talking on the radio in the Metroplex.
TJ, here we go.
Yes,
Mike McCarthy.
That's right. Mike McCarthy has one game left on his contract. Even he said it's been a difficult, trying situation, but he didn't want to talk about it until the end of the season. Stephen Jones said that they're going to talk about it at the end of the season. Let's hear what Jerry Jones had to say today on 105.3 The Fan in the Metroplex. Hit it.
What I'm not going to do this morning is to get into any indication one way or the other that I'm not interested in having Mike back. I don't want that to be the case at all. And we've got this game ahead of us, but I'll assure you that I have been for weeks thinking about how we go forward after this season.
Are you confident that Mike wants to be back in Dallas?
Well, I feel good about Mike McCarthy, and the main thing is that I like the job that he's done. This, unfortunately, we've had the year that we've had, but I feel good about Mike.
All
right. Okay.
I don't know what else to say other than the fact that Dak wants him back and Mike McCarthy's a great dude and he knows football. And, I don't know how a season like this and an all in season where it's just been completely obliterated to smithereens, another Super Bowl season goes by the wayside, or at least a hope of a season. And they're still going to, well, you did. I'm sure a lot of Dallas Cowboys fans did.
I did.
No?
No.
Okay.
Not.
Okay. Very good. Hey, listen, I know the Jones family did.
Did they know?
Yeah, I know that.
I was thinking about what Albert said yesterday. I can't believe
that it's going to be, well, by the way, let me finish my thought. I can't believe that this would finish with him being extended at the end of the day anyway, without a playoff season, going into the season saying, right, hey, they don't make the playoffs, but they're going to extend him anyway. You go, how do we connect those dots?
Right, right.
But
like if he had a year or two left, I could see him being brought back. But the fact that he's got no deal for next year, a lot of the assistant coaches, like Albert pointed out yesterday, are not under contract for next year.
Yeah.
It's super easy to just start over and start fresh with a whole new coaching staff.
And do I hear this reports that he could move on to maybe the Saints or another? Does another team offer him
I think he'll be coaching in 2025 without a doubt. Right, Rich?
I think so. Hell yeah.
Yeah, so.
I think so for sure. That said, I don't know as a head coach. I mean, forget, Belichick didn't get a job.
That's true.
You know, neither did Vrabel when we thought, oh, somebody's going to take those guys. I guess there's one way of saying I can't believe that it turned out the way that it did and he can get extended anyway. And then the other way is just like, why wouldn't I believe that when the way that the Jones family does business is they just wait until the last second and do the deal anyway.
Yeah.
You know, that's what they did with their star quarterback. That's what they did with their star wide receiver. You know, who, by the way, you want to talk about stats, because I was looking that up before. You know, he's the third leading receiver in the NFL this year, CeeDee Lamb.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. After all of that, you take a look at the top receivers and their totals, it goes Ja'Marr Chase, Justin Jefferson, CeeDee Lamb.
Wow.
And then Amon-Ra. And then Brian Thomas, by the way. Holy cow.
I know. Well, Rich, you know, there's a bunch of rookies. What, four rookies in the top eight? Or three rookies in the top eight? And none of them are Marvin Harrison? Brian Thomas, 5. Brock Bowers, 7. Malik Nabers, 8.
And that's why when I heard, like, hey, you know, Jeremiah Smith of Ohio State right now, if he was available, you know, he'd be drafted first overall. It's just like there's just no way that you can possibly
predict
anything at the wide receiver position or take somebody first overall like he's Keyshawn back in the day.
Yeah.
All right. Mike Hoskins told me this is a caller that has potential. Sue in Idaho, you're on the Rich Eisen Show. What's up, Sue?
Hello there. Thanks for taking my call.
What's up, Sue? What can I do?
How are you?
What can we do?
Here we go. With regard to managing, the mischievous question of who is your favorite child, I wanted to share a playful analytical answer you might consider using.
Okay, Sue. Okay.
I've successfully used this analogy for my own children for over 30 years, and the answer always receives a satisfactory response. Here we go.
Okay, before you get into this, though, Sue, we need the particulars. Ages, genders.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. What do you have for me here?
Amounts?
Total?
5 kids.
Whoa.
The ages are 34, 33,
32,
32,
and 31.
Oh, my goodness.
Okay, so Sue, you had a Hall of Fame career, is basically what you're saying at one stretch. Okay, and so...
the 90s were good to you, Miss Sue.
And so the guys,
there's a set of twins in there. That's why the math.
Right.
That's why I got the 32. Yeah. Okay, and the genders.
All boys. One of the twins is a girl.
Okay, she's number one.
Now stop it! Don't, it's TJ. Please, Sue. The floor is yours.
Oh, you're gonna fall right into the trap.
Mm-hmm.
Oh no, okay. She's a girl. So yeah. Okay.
The floor is yours, Sue.
All right, Sue. What do you got?
Here we go. Here's your answer. My kids are like 5 different flavors of ice cream. One is cookies and cream. Another is mint chocolate chip. Another is butter pecan. Another is Jamocha almond fudge. And another is pistachio. They are all ice cream, but they are each unique and individual flavors. And I love each one of them while all falling under the category of ice cream. I don't need to have one favorite flavor. I don't need to have one favorite child. There you go.
Sue in Idaho, everybody.
Yeah, but what's your favorite flavor, Sue? I mean, come on.
Stop it.
There's one.
I knew you were going to be the one to go for that.
All right.
Here's the good part of it. You absolutely, the truth of it is, be honest, you don't have to have a favorite flavor of ice cream. Sometimes you're in the mood.
That's right.
Hang out with mint chocolate chips. Sometimes you're in the mood to hang out with Jamocha almond fudge, etc.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
I like it.
Yeah. All right. Miss Sue, though, you roll up into Baskin Robbins right now. Okay.
Yeah, what are you in the mood for today?
Yeah, you walk up to the counter and you got 31 plus flavors. Which one are you picking right now?
I will take a hand packed pint of every single one of them.
See, I knew that.
Okay. See, I mean, TJ, how dare you try to throw Sue in Idaho off her game? Her children are in their 30s. Like, you're going to. Yeah, she's a veteran. She's a veteran of this game. She's a vet. Get out of here.
I am a vet. And here's one more thing you can do, which is why it works after 30 years. Have fun with your own kids since you're there in Utah, anyhow, hanging. Have fun with your own kids deciding which flavor of ice cream they think best characterizes themselves.
Yes.
While you and your wife can say, I think you're more this flavor. It's a great game. We played it our whole lives, and it's always the default answer because even in your 30s, people still ask, Sue, come on. Which is your favorite kid?
Sue in Idaho, everybody. Don't lose our number. Call back, Sue. That was fantastic. Thank you very much. How dare you guys try to throw Sue in Idaho off her game?
I just know she didn't say Rocky Road. That would have been the winner.
Yeah, please. Fun show, everybody. Fun show. Have a great New Year's Eve. I know, TJ, you're gonna be watching the game, right?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Between Penn State and Boise State. What are you doing?
I have to scout Ashton Jenty, you know.
Okay, very good. Yeah, what are you doing, Chris? What are you doing?
Nothing. I'm solo.
Very good. Oh, you're solo?
Yeah, Sarah and Cager up north. So I'm just kind of...
Why don't you and TJ go hang out?
I'm just hanging out.
Why don't you hang out?
That's not geographically sound. Yeah. You know what I mean?
He's over there. I'm over here.
Side of the hill, Rich.
You know, drunk
Mike,
people.
Mike, you and your
your squirrel friend?
He's going to the Rose Bowl.
Rose Bowl, baby. Come on.
I go to tonight. You're not sleeping overnight, are you?
I'm doing a little job up there. I got a little side gig.
Scott's
got 14 jobs.
All right, Rocky and Bullwinkle will be making their way to Pasadena. Hey, to everybody out there in the Rich Eisen Show viewing and listening universe, happy and healthy and a safe new year. We'll be back on the air on Thursday. We'll see you in 2025.
My World with Jeff Jarrett takes wrestling fans behind the scenes, along with King of the Mountain, Conrad Thompson.
I wanted to ask you about what you know, if anything, on the new WWE ID program, where they're apparently going to be working with some independent wrestlers.
My encouragement to any independent wrestler out there, build your value and then understand your value, and then you create your own leverage. There's no substitute for hard work and getting over.
My World with Jeff Jarrett, wherever you listen.